Thank you, listeners, for tuning in once again to Riding Right with the Raiders. As always, God bless America and God bless Texas. Today with me, I have my co-host, the president of the Tech College Republicans.
Howdy.
On this episode, we have a special guest with us. She's also one of our co-hosts, but she's been busy with student orientations. This military star.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sarah Richard. I'm the 2024 and 2025 Miss Military Star Texas.
Miss Military Star Texas. When did you start pageants?
So I started back in my hometown of Lakeside, California. Yes, fun fact, I'm from California originally. In Lakeside, we had this really great program that focuses on helping girls become very smart, educated women through pageants. Our director taught us how to write a resume, how to interview, how to dress professionally, how to speak publicly. And most importantly, she taught us how to be ourselves and support one another. It was the Miss Lakeside pageant. It was part of the 678 scholarship pageant program, and I absolutely loved my time there. So if they ever hear this, shout out to them.
How has your confidence or personality changed over time since getting involved?
Oh my gosh, where do I even begin? I completely changed with pageants. It has made me more confident in myself. I have done so much more public speaking than I ever thought I ever would, but I felt so much more comfortable about it, and I don't have to hide anything, and it feels great.
Did you face any initial challenges or doubts when getting involved or getting started?
Well, this is a really good one because my family was not well off growing up. So trying to do stuff like this, you would think maybe it has a little bit more of an extra cost to it. When I started with the Miss Lakeside pageant, it was a lot cheaper than I thought it was ever going to be. So there was the initial doubt of like how much it was going to cost. And then, of course, when I get into the Military Star organization, which is the one I'm with now, it does cost a bit more. But we've found ways to deal with that with sponsors and stuff. And it's been a lot easier since.
So that early on, can you share a defining moment that occurred early in your pageant career?
A defining moment would have to be when I was a senior in high school. I was running for the Miss Lakeside because we have three titles in that program. It's Miss, Teen, and Preteen Junior Miss. So I was running for Miss, and then I decided I was going to go to Texas Tech. That's when I talked to my director. I was devastated because I couldn't be the Miss Lakeside and also go to Texas Tech because I'd be in two different states. So when I talked to her, she said, we still want you to be here. We know how much you love this. We know how much you do for us. So she told me to go ahead and run for one of the princess titles rather than the queen title. And that became my defining moment because I still put that dedication in to serving my community because it wasn't about the title. You know, it's never about the title. It's about the work that you do with it. But I greatly appreciate the fact that she still gave me a chance to be part of the program.
So before we go into our next topic here, two things. The first one, it sounds like there's different levels to this pageant. When you talk about titles, princess and queen, can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Absolutely. So I'm going to start with the Miss Lakeside because it's a lot less complicated than the Miss Military Star. We have, as I mentioned, Miss, Teen, and Preteen Junior Miss. We have three queens. Each of those queens has two princesses. So you have like a Miss Lakeside princess and second princess, teen, et cetera, et cetera. Then we also have for the preteen junior miss, we have the queen, the two princesses, and then any of the other girls who run but don't get any of those titles, they will get a court crown. But it's just the preteen juniors because it gives those younger girls a chance to learn the program. It gives them a chance to still do stuff, but it keeps them growing at a younger age so that they can then progress further.
Interesting. What inspired you to pick Texas Tech or to come here to Texas?
Well, being in California, most people know it is not easy living out there, especially if you're not well off financially. And that's what my family was. My parents are retired military. So we all knew we wanted to come out to Texas because it is so much cheaper out here. Oh, my goodness. And I knew I wanted to be at a decent school. I started picking what programs I wanted. I thought about culinary school. That was going to be super expensive. There were no scholarships for that. I chose Texas Tech because they have what's called the RIM program, which is Restaurant, Hotel, and Institutional Management. They have like the business aspect of the food industry, the hospitality industry. And I figured instead of trying to do a double major of business and culinary school, do this program, get this degree, then I can take community college for a smaller degree. And oh my gosh, I'm so glad I did. I love this program that I'm in.
Is there anything particular about it that stands out here at the university?
I never have to take a chem class, and I'm so thankful for that. No, but in reality, I love the people. I love the fact that the classes are so focused on just this industry, the specific industry that I want to be in. It's scheduled out so that I know what classes I need to take, when I need to take them, how I should take them. And the, Texas Tech has made it practically impossible for students to fail.
This military star, Texas, is that a national thing or is that just like a state thing?
That is a great question. So I am part of the Military Star Organization, or Miss Military Star Organization. We're kind of known as both. The Texas state is the one that I represent in this organization. We are national. We're based in Pennsylvania. That's where it all started with our founder, Bella, who just graduated high school. And we kind of started growing about 12 years ago. So I didn't join until 2 years ago, roughly. But it has grown to be all about serving the military community and, of course, their families, whether that's active, retired, reserves, ROTC, families, et cetera. We support them, or as we like to say, we shine to serve them. And that's one of the great things that I love about this program. And being the representative for Texas, it just, it's amazing. Now, I did want to circle back to a question that Senator Allen here brought up. We do have several age categories. And I mentioned it was a little bit more tricky than the Miss Lakeside because we have 9 different age categories. We give our girls a chance to start community service at a younger age. We start them off at like 2 years old. So we have our mini miss, little miss, junior preteen, preteen, junior teen, teen, miss, which is mine, Ms., and elite. And elite is 35 and up. So you could do this until you're like 80, which is amazing.
Interesting, interesting. And how does the program different from, say, Miss America or Miss USA, something like that?
Biggest thing is because we are smaller, we're a little bit more focused on one thing. With Miss America, there's so many topics you could cover for your community service initiative. You could do breast cancer, you could do mental health, you could do epilepsy, you could do anything you wanted. Whereas in the Military Star Organization, we're more focused on how we can support our military community specifically. And that might include, you know, breast cancer, mental health, all those other things. One of my other friends, she's an epilepsy advocate for the military families, especially kids with epilepsy. She herself has epilepsy. So it really depends on what the focus is, which military community is what Military Star is all about.
Interesting. How did you get involved particularly with the Military Star program?
My friend Sierra, I met her in Lakeside. She was the former Miss Lakeside Princess that I took over her title from. I was giving on my title to the next girl. When I saw Sierra there, we were hanging out at the pageant together, and I was talking to her. I said, hey, I live in Texas now. I want to find something that's like Miss Lakeside. What would Military Star be like for me? She introduced me to the Miss Military Star organization, and oh my gosh, I was hooked day one.
Interesting. Now, we are told that you were about to go national. Can you please give us a breakdown of what that would be?
That is an absolutely fabulous question. I'm super, super excited. Nationals is quite literally, I leave this Saturday. It is all next week. And we are all getting together in Erie, Pennsylvania. We have a very long rundown week full of fun things. And speaking of, I do actually have the official schedule, which is kind of crazy. Sunday on the 29th, we have our registration, our orientation. Everybody's there. We're checking in. It's going to be great. We have a fun dinner coming up for that. The next day, it is all about interviews. We have our different time slots. Mine's at 10 a.m. sharp. And then, of course, we have our rehearsals for anything on stage. But interview is going to be the biggest thing because we have so many contestants. You know, we have 9 different age categories, and it's going to be great. Then, of course, the rehearsals for anything on stage. And then we have our National Queens hosted parties. That is where we have 3 different categories or divisions, where it's red, white, and blue. I'm part of the blue division. All of us in the blue division get together with our national queens, who are the blue division queens. That would be the Miss, Ms., and Elite. All of us get together. We do a small community service thing while getting to know one another. It's fun. It's going to be a luau. I'm really excited for that one. Then we have our Tuesday schedule, which is all of the optional competitions. We have talent, statewear, school spirit, academic, online. We have a essay contest that I really like doing. And we have so many different optionals that we get to participate in or choose to participate in. I really enjoy that part. It's a lot more on stage stuff, but I have a lot of fun with it, as does everybody else. You see a lot of creativity. Then, of course, we have the gala for the optional awards that night, which is going to be super fun. It's supposed to be a masquerade ball, which I love. Then Wednesday is going to be our crowning day, our evening gown. That's where you see all the gowns and stuff with our women. And that's where we love to get dressed up. We have a ton of fun doing hair and makeup, and it's absolutely wild fun.
No, it seems you have a lot of fun having this. But let me ask you, what makes the pageants worth going to? You know, is it friends? Is it colleagues? Is it just the experience that you would get along the way?
There's a lot of different aspects that make pageants worth it. Not only do you learn these life skills like building a resume, learning how to interview, dressing professionally, public speaking. Some of these also include scholarships. So like Miss Military Star does offer scholarships for the winners. We also offer a lot of fun things going on for the activities, but we also have a ton of friends. I have made so many friends just in the last year of being with Miss Military Star. So shout out to all of them if they get to hear this. That's going to be great for them, because I'll just put this on at Nationals, be like, oh yeah, guess what I did right before coming here. So I really love the friendship. I love the work that you get to do. And most importantly, I love being able to do something in a unique way that still makes a huge impact.
All right. Well, it seems like going to these pageants would seem to cost a little bit of money. So do you have any sponsors or any scholarships that allow you to go to, say, Erie, Pennsylvania?
Absolutely. Sponsors are what fund most of my work. And I will say, Texas Tech did sponsor me. They gave me a $750 sponsorship. So shout out to Texas Tech University. SGA has been helping me with their reimbursement program. So shout out to the SGA. They are absolutely amazing. I love all of them. I have a lot more other sponsors, a lot of businesses around Lubbock in the area. I have family and friends who've pitched in to help me. There's also a church couple that I go to church with, Mr. and Mrs. Leach. They are an amazing couple. They are so generous. They paid for my hotel this year. That was huge.
That's interesting. Now, I need to ask, is there any controversies that have come up over the years, or do you see any stereotypes that you would see in a pageantry, and do you try to break some of those stereotypes that may come up or arise?
All the time. So I'm going to ask you this one. When you think of a pageant, what's one of the first things that comes to your mind? I'm going to ask Senator Allen this one, too. I want to see what he says. Let's see.
I just think of like Miss Universe, Miss America.
When you think of those, though, what comes to your mind? Like any of the competitions? What do you think of?
I think they're highly focused on like looks is what I would say is what comes to my mind. You know, how you do your hair, your makeup. Yeah. A lot of the people, they seem like they're also involved in modeling and stuff like that. And so I feel like it's more of a popularity contest in a sense versus are you getting involved in the community?
I think it's somewhat of a kind of like a more of like a sexualization of women if you think about it, because most people have this stereotype that it's just beautiful girls from all over the country and they wear a bikini and, you know, they ask them simple questions like, what's the capital of Texas? And the girl says, T.
See, that is some really great stereotypes that we are breaking. Actually, fun fact, Miss America and a lot of other pageant organizations are getting rid of the bikini wear contest because it is very sexualization towards women. It's not helping what we want to do. And there is a difference between a beauty pageant and a scholarship pageant. So I'm going to touch on the Miss USA and Miss Universe pageants because they are hand in hand with that. There is a modeling contract of a sort of thing that goes on with beauty pageants because it is more about looks, being a model. It's a great opportunity for modeling. There's a lot of openings of doors that can go with that. But with a scholarship pageant, you know, you're working for your title. It's a scholarship that you're getting out of this. It's community service based. So Miss America actually removed their bikini wear contest in, I want to say, 2017, 2018. The queens were all over that. They said, this is great. Let's do this. And Miss Military Star does not have a bikini wear contest. I don't think I would ever put myself in that kind of situation because there is a lot of stereotypes about like making girls self-conscious, sexualizing them, making them look more like models. And we are breaking that by removing that altogether. Another thing is we're putting ourselves out there as representatives, not just of our communities, but like for me, it's of the state. So taking the initiative, going out and talking to the people, making the connections, networking, we're taking that initiative and putting ourselves out there, showing them that we are more than just a crown. And that's one of the things that I really focus on, is being more than just a pretty face. And there are a really great amount of girls and women in the world that could be in. There's also guys' pageants. I mean, they're great. So let me ask you this. Do you know a guy pageant?
Off the top of my head, but if I had to think of, say, quote unquote, a pageant for men, I would think of, say, the competitions that Arnold Schwarzenegger would do back in the 70s, where Mr. Universe, right?
There you go. That is the number one male pageant. In fact, he is hugely sponsoring that one every year because he was Mr. Universe. In fact, Mr. Universe and Miss Universe go hand in hand. Did you guys know that President Trump previously owned Miss USA and Miss Universe?
I do believe so.
Yeah, I do.
Most people think, oh, it's Trump, you know, he is very into women. Okay, so what? He's also showing that women are powerful through pageants, and we're making a difference because of those pageants. We're out there doing the work. We're putting in the time and the effort to be a representative. You know, that's what makes us public figures, is because we are out there doing the work and being community advocates. And that's one of the things that I really love about breaking the stereotypes. You know, I see women who may not look toothpick thin or might look toothpick thin and are still getting harassed for how they look. They're out there. They don't care. They're having fun. That's the most important thing about pageants nowadays. And that's what I love.
Gentlemen, Miss Military Star Texas. How about that one?
So you've really talked a lot about the age gaps in this. Can you kind of paint a picture? Because you talked about community service starts at 2, I believe, is what you said.
Yes, our youngest start at 2-year-old, and they usually hang out with their moms a lot, which is great.
All right. So as you're going through the different years, and they're growing, they're getting older, what do the pageants look like from 2 years old to, say, 18?
Well, the biggest thing is they don't really change a lot. Some people think, oh, it's a 2-year-old, it's like toddlers and tiaras, which, no, that is no longer the case, because that is absolutely detrimental to a child. What it really looks like is they are doing the same things or similar to what the older girls and women would be doing. So they go through the interview process. They do the same onstage stuff as we do. Granted, we might have to help them out a little bit because they're 2, but we have a lot of fun doing it. And I love seeing the mom and daughter and the grandma, mom and daughter groups getting together doing pageants. In fact, there is a grandmother, mother and daughter group that I see all the time. They are California national title holders themselves. Absolutely amazing women. They're out there knocking pageants out, winning national titles together. It's great to see the families get together.
I like hearing that it's not like the toddlers and tiaras, because that's the first thing that came to my head. And I was like, I really don't want to just jump to a conclusion here. I'm going to let her talk.
Unfortunately, that is something that really brought down pageants for a while. When you remove the cupcake dresses, when you don't let them wear any makeup, you might do their hair a little nicer. That's when you see a real girl shine, is you don't need 10 tons of makeup. Like, I know nobody can see this right now, but I'm wearing bare minimum makeup, and I hear other women and other girls talking about how they use like 20 different products. I'm like, I use like 6. You don't need a lot to be in a pageant. And that's another thing that we do with stereotypes to break those, is we just show our natural selves. In fact, one of the girls who I befriended last year at Nationals, her name is Alice. She's my California sister is what I like to call her, my little Alice in pageant wonderland. She put herself out there, no fancy hair, no makeup, just herself, and she did amazingly last year.
Interesting. Let me ask you, do you think a pageant such as the Military Star pageant, it represents the majority of pageants in the United States, or do you think like the Princes and Tiaras kind of thing has kind of taken over, you know, the American pageantry?
I will say Miss America has kind of reshaped how pageants look ever since they've gone from maybe not having a very fancy bikini tour back in the 1950s, which then created Miss USA and Miss Universe because the sponsor pulled out at the time. But they've also shown that it's more about who we are on the inside rather than what we look like. It's not about how you dress. It's not about how you do your hair. In fact, nobody cares how you do your hair. Literally, nobody cares how you do your hair. If you look nice, if you feel great, and if you look great and feel great, and you show that to the judges, that's what they're going to see, somebody who's got the confidence to be the title holder.
All right. And so how do the judges grade someone, like, you know, judge someone?
Well,
hair looks like this or?
Nope. Hair actually plays zero factor. In fact, we couldn't even care what shoes you wear, much less your outfit. It's more so we create a resume, right, based on questions that we are given in our templates. So, for example, I've got the booklet here with me, our handbook here that we use every year. And in our resumes, we put in different questions like three words that describe you, how you intend to proceed as the national queen, what you might be really good at, what you would bring to the table, essentially. And from there, the judges will look at that ahead of time with a picture of yourself and say, okay, this is who I am. Now you'll get to talk to me one-on-one or in a panel, essentially. And when you are with the judges, you know, it's a private interview, so there's not like 20 dozen people around you. It's just you having a conversation with them, and it just happens to be about you. Most of the time, they'll probably ask you about your platform. So, like, mine is vets, pets, and homes, and how I might bring that to the national table. Sometimes it'll be about what you plan to do with your career. They cannot ask you any political or controversial questions. And this is one of the big things that I like to point out is most pageants do avoid talking about politics and stuff because it can be very controversial, you know. But there are a lot of great ways that people still get involved outside of being a title holder in politics and stuff. So, for example, I'm part of student government. In the future, I might have a small career in politics. Don't know yet. We'll see how that goes. But it's what we show the judges and how we present ourselves that they judge us on, whether we're confident, we know what we're talking about, we have a plan, we've got the goals in mind, we know what we're going to do, what we're going to say. And that takes a lot of dedication and a lot of practice.
So I want to ask something that some people might think is controversial. I grew up in a time where there was a show that really promoted the idea of teenagers and just women in general getting pregnant at a young age. So what I want to ask is, can someone who is expecting compete in these pageants?
I will say it depends on the program. Some cases, like the one I'm in, the age group that I am in, you can be, I think it's 19 and up, and you could be married or unmarried. Let me see. Yeah. 19 to 25 is any marital status. So you could be married. You could have kids. You could be divorced. You could be getting a divorce. You could be pregnant. In fact, last year there was a lady who was pregnant during the pageant last year. And that was pretty cool because she did fabulously.
How long do these pageants, competitions, how long do they last?
Well, ours last about, let's see, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, about 4 or 5 days. I know Miss Texas, where Miss Lubbock and Miss Lubbock's teen are right now, they started theirs earlier this week. They had check-in, and then they have their final prelims night on the 28th, which is when I'll be heading to Erie. So it really just depends on the circuit. Where it's Miss America, it might be like a week. Where it's my organization, it might be like 5 days. It really depends.
So Phil and I have a friend in common, and you'll meet her sooner or later. She attends Texas Tech. Her name is Joanne. I just wanted to ask this because I started thinking about packing and past conversations. What goes into preparing for these pageants?
Oh, boy. Here we go. So for those who are going to listen to this episode, I know you can't see this packing list. I'm just going to show this and get a reaction from these guys here just to see. This is my packing list. That's just stuff I'm bringing with me. That does not include practicing your interview. That does not practice walking on stage. That doesn't practice what you're going to say on stage. All of that goes into not just your community service, but it's also what you do on the stage, how you talk to the judges, how you talk to people in general during the pageant. Because you got to remember, there are a lot of volunteers in programs like this, and they deserve just as much respect as the judges, as your parents, as the people who are running the show. And so all of that, plus your community service on top of that, that is what's really preparing you for nationals.
Can you kind of talk a little bit also on, like, how do you mentally and emotionally and also health-wise prepare for these?
So I guess the biggest thing I would say for this – is going to start with interview. People get so nervous about being in an interview. And one of the best things that I took away from being at Miss Lakeside was that an interview, no matter what the interview is, could be a job interview, could be a pageant interview, could be an interview for something else entirely. It's just a conversation with new people. That's literally all it is. And whatever the topic might be, it just happens to be about you. That's what's gotten me through so many interviews, whether it's for a job, whether it's for a scholarship, whether it's for a pageant. That has helped me get through so many different kinds of interviews, and that takes away the biggest amount of stress. As far as packing, making this list ahead of time, having these things set aside as you get ready. So for most part, all of my clothes and whatnot are currently sitting in my closet, all hanging up, making sure they don't get wrinkled to death. And then when it comes to packing, make sure you know where everything is ahead of time. That's going to save you 10 times the stress. Like, so much stress is just gone because you know where all your stuff is ahead of time. And then, of course, just a lot of pre-planning. And don't overthink it. And I say that like it's easy, because I know for some people it's really not, like myself. Take it one day at a time. Say, I'll run this a few times. I'm going to practice an interview question or two. I'm going to focus on what I might need. And really, it's what you need to focus on, not all of it all at once. Taking it in small strides gets you there, and then suddenly you're prepared for it.
Aside from your community service, I just want to clarify, are you currently employed? I know you're a student at Tech, but...
I'm just a student. I mean, I've done some fun jobs here and there at, like, 4-Bar K. I was a Red Raider camp counselor last summer, which was a lot of fun. This year, I'm not doing anything right now.
All right. So it kind of sounds like you've competed in pageants while going to school, while working at the same time. How do you balance all of that?
I use a very unique planner. I find one that has not just spots for the different days, but also time slots, so that I can plan when I need homework due, when I need to work on homework, when I have work, when I have stuff for pageants. And I will plan that out a week in advance each week and say, okay, this is my next week. This is what's going to work. This is what's not going to work. Make sure you do this at this time. And that really helps me schedule things out so that I don't feel overwhelmed. And when I do get overwhelmed because I might be tired, I might have people trying to get my attention for some odd thing. When I get like that overwhelming thing, it's good to have a support group that's there for you. So like my family, my friends, my colleagues, they are all there supporting me and saying, okay, take it a day at a time. You do not need to go overboard with this because you're not going to fail, because that's not what you do, you know? And it's good to have that support group that knows you, that understands you, saying just take it one day at a time. Just take those deep breaths and give yourself that grace that really make it easier to balance things out.
Just to kind of give people an example, because I know we've seen it on TV in the past, or maybe you have, maybe you haven't. What is it like going through the airport? Because I'm looking at your list and I'm just like, oh my God.
Actually, my mom is really good at packing. So shout out to my mom for helping me pack, because I'm not as good as packing as her. But we tend to play Tetris a lot. So we tend to find ways that everything will fit. I would say, let's see, last year we each had a larger duffel bag and a small carry-on plus our purses. Pretty straightforward, pretty easy. We checked our bags. They all went through pretty easily. Whenever we do have to go through an airport, we usually check our bags first, which is going to be the majority of our bags because it's just easier. Then for our carry-ons, I'm probably going to have my purse and my crown box. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. They will usually do a simple security scan like everybody else. If they've got a question, we just explain it like, oh, yeah, this is this. Pretty simple. Pretty normal. There's nothing really extra fancy about it. I might walk into an airport with my crown on this year. I'm still debating if I should do that or if I should wait until after TSA. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, this is a pretty big packing list. I'm pretty sure this is going to fit into like 2 suitcases total.
And just for some of our listeners, because I've been asked in previous episodes, what is SGA? That's Student Government Association.
Yeah, Student Government Association.
Has attending Texas Tech or being involved with SGA had a influence or impact in your pageantry work at all?
I will say it's helped my pageant work quite a bit, because you meet a lot of people through student government. So I first met President Skuvanek at the Student Government Association banquet at the end of my freshman year. I walked right up to him. I introduced myself. I shook his hand. I said, hey, I would love a sponsorship from Texas Tech. And he said, you want to set up a meeting? I said, absolutely. And we did. And I got a sponsorship 2 years in a row, which was great.
And you mentioned that you had moved to Texas. How have your interactions with the city council, city government, and commissioners been?
Personally, I haven't had a lot of experience. I do love Christy Martinez Garcia. I work with her a lot, especially with the parades and such. She is amazing. When I do interact with them, which, again, isn't very often yet, but when I do interact with them, I find them to be very pleasant. I find them to be very professional, but also very kind.
You're talking about the parades. I know we have an upcoming parade. Will you be having any involvement in that?
I will be in the 4th of July parade. I am super excited for that. Classic Motor Cars is sponsoring the vehicle that I will be riding in. And then Jay Brooks Prom and Bridal from 34th Street, they are sponsoring the gown that I will be wearing, and I'm so, so grateful for them. They are all amazing.
Are we allowed to know what vehicle you will be in?
I don't even know the vehicle. I'm going to be so real with you. I don't know what the vehicle is, so it's going to be a surprise for everybody.
Cross your fingers, 1978 Pontiac Trans Am.
Nah, dude, I want a Mustang. Are you kidding me?
Dude. No. Dodge Charger.
Ooh, that would be nice.
Just get her in, like, one of the Pope's vehicles, and she can be in the glass case.
She wants to be in a Ram 1500 with a bullet case.
Okay. You want to know something? I was actually in a Ram truck last year in the 4th of July parade. One of my mom's friends from the horse ranch where we keep our animals had a Ram truck that I rode in the back of. It wasn't horrible. There was a couple of speed bumps here and there, but we made it work. So I've ridden in a Ram.
Have you gotten to compete in anything? And I'm just asking because I know Lubbock had a pageant system at one point for here for a little bit. Have you gotten to compete in anything locally?
Yes, actually. So after I moved here to Texas, it was right before spring 2024. I was running in the Miss Lubbock pageant. We did bring back the Miss Lubbock pageant. The director who just got married, Claudia, love her. She brought it back because she was the 2023 Miss Lubbock and was bringing the pageant back to Lubbock. So we had the 2024 pageant that was Lainey and Monique. Lainey is now graduated from Texas Tech, and Monique, I believe, is going to college at A&M. I could be wrong, though. So, Monique, I'm so sorry if I got that wrong. I love you. This current year, 2025, is Carly and Hannah. And again, they're at Miss Texas right now. Carly goes to Texas Tech, and I believe Hannah's going to go, I really want to say, University of Texas, and I don't remember which one off the top of my head. And again, I'm sorry, Hannah, if I get that wrong. You can smack me later. I love you, girl. But they are truly amazing women. I did get to compete and help with pageants for Miss Lubbock. They are really great people. And then, of course, I got to meet more people through the Miss Lubbock pageant, which was even more better.
So you said you were in the student government. So what do you do on a daily basis in SGA?
So my very first year, I was part of the first year council. I'm pretty sure I got signed up when we were doing the orientation and we were doing walking around the tabling. And I think I saw student government and wanted to get involved. So I started as a first year. I was a intern with one of the student senators, and I got to learn the ins and outs of writing legislation, how to write professional emails. I actually got to help write legislation with the rest of the first year council to help bring awareness to the mold and the bug bites and the pest control issues from the student residence halls. Then I am also now a senator. I took last year off from student government. I missed the election by one day. I was so busy with getting schoolwork done that I missed election signups by one day. So I took the year off last year just to focus on pageant work, and I just partnered with SGA instead. Now I'm a student senator. I'm helping write legislation. I'm on the interim committee where we're checking to make sure all the governing documents are up to date. There are a couple of things that I'm currently working on to fix the constitution that we have, just because there's a couple of verbiage things that just need a little tweaking just so they make a little more sense. Then I will also be on the infrastructure committee, and I'm going to do a couple of things there. I'm going to start working on some pieces to help ROTC, because our two ROTC detachments, I work with them all the time. They're great. I love them. If they hear this episode, shout out to the ROTC. Those guys and girls are great. I love them. Thank you, Mr. Hampton, and to the commanders for helping me with all of that. helping the students while also being the Miss Military Star Texas has an overlapping of sorts, because you're not just supporting Texas military people, you're also helping the students, because some of those students are Texas military, which is even cooler. So it's given me a lot of opportunity to do a lot of work for not just Texas Tech, but also for the military community.
All right. And now that you're in the student government, what are some things you would want to see changed here at Texas Tech?
Well, there is a couple of small things that I would like to bring to Texas Tech through collaborations with one of the teachers I had last semester. She had a great research idea to bring therapeutic gardening to Texas Tech, whether that be a veterans garden or an ROTC garden. It was therapeutic horticulture or horticultural therapy that was absolutely genius. She showed us our research. She showed us all the data that she had. It was brilliant. And she said she wanted to bring it to Texas Tech. I said, hey, I'm in student government. I want to work with you to bring that to Texas Tech, because I think that would be great. You know, horticultural therapy, even just being around nature, makes you feel at least 10 times better. You know, whenever you go sitting under a tree or you go sitting outside in the Red Raider Plaza and you're just studying and relaxing with the good weather, you feel a lot better too. And that's just one of the things that I would love to bring to Texas Tech.
Well, that sounds very interesting. And I know Texas Tech has a lot of greenery here. And I know we do have things like, we do have a botanical garden on campus that people don't really know about, because it's right next to the meat sciences building and the rec. So not many people would know about that.
That is another thing I wanted to talk about. I want to update the websites for the school, because there are a lot of facilities on campus that students don't know about. For example, did either of you know about the HEB Culinary Lab in Human Sciences?
Yes.
He didn't know about it. Let me explain it to you really quick. It is literally giant kitchen. It is a giant kitchen over in the second floor of the Human Sciences building that you can rent and that you can bake and cook and do whatever you want with for a few hours. And I think it's $20 an hour.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah. And it's huge, too. It gives you all the resources you need in a kitchen. And a lot of times they use it for, like, food production classes and things of that nature. But nobody knows about it. I didn't even know we had these podcast rooms in the libraries until I came on to this episode. And I was like, oh, we have podcast studios. I didn't know that. So if we update the websites for students to see what they have access to, you think they'd use them more?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I would really think they'd use something like this, especially like a podcast studio or a culinary program or some sort. You know, I feel Texas Tech has a hard time of trying to promote what it has on campus. You know, a lot of gatekeeping. I'll give an example. It's like for our organization, I did not know that student orgs can get flyers printed for free, you know.
And I wouldn't quite call it gatekeeping. I would say they just need to better advertise it for students, and that might just bring in more students. One of the things that I'm working on for ROTC is to help get them more recruitment, because they are losing numbers very quickly. If we don't do something, they're going to lose a lot more by 2027. Now, that's a scary thought to me, because we only have, let's see, last time I asked, the Army had 105 cadets, and then Air Force was even less. Now, that's just as of spring 2025. That could be growing soon. That could be shrinking soon. We're not entirely sure. But because of some things that have happened that campus doesn't do, that's one of the things that I want to change so that we can keep our recruits coming in.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue, because I work real close with the Lubbock community. I've asked people that, you know, they tell me about, that go to Tech and they want to join the military. And I'm like, oh, well, why don't you just join ROTC? And they don't want to. I don't understand what's happening there. Do you have any insight on that?
I think the biggest thing is just cost. Yes, the military does cover some of it. However, some schools offer different scholarships, and that can be a turnaway or a deal breaker for some schools. Like, I know a lot of potential cadets that could have gone here ended up going to another school, whether that's TCU, OSU, or even outside of the Big 12. And I think it just depends on what kind of scholarships they can get. And that's one of the things that we need to address, is what scholarships are they getting, and how can we adjust it so that we can get more recruits without losing money in any way?
I know one issue I've had tech parents approach me, and I guess it's just because in Lubbock I'm pretty active and they just approach me. I really don't know what causes them to do it, but they've often asked me about the ROTC and where it's at. And when I tell them where it's at or I show them, their opinion is that they feel ROTC should have better visibility, a better building. How do you feel about that?
Well, it really depends on which one they use. They have two ROTC detachments. We have Army and Air Force. Army used to be over in the College of Media and Communications, or MCOM as we like to call it. So they did used to have better visibility. However, it's kind of a less space in my opinion. That's why they're over in Weeks Hall right now. But I do agree they need some sort of better advertising for our programs that might give them that visibility, because the offices they have right now are more than likely not going to move anytime soon.
They're very hidden. Like, I was walking through Holden Hall, and I barely even knew that the Air Force ROTC was in Holden Hall. It's just a little office in the stairwell.
I do think better signage, maybe more signage in general, would give them better visibility, maybe promoting it more, bringing in speakers from ROTC might help, bringing in more cadets. There's a lot of programs and facilities that just need better viewership, you know? They need to be advertised more, in my opinion, which is one of the things that I would like to do while I'm in SGA.
I'm going to kind of open the door here. When I'm thinking about this, I start thinking about our state reps here and those that are tied to the military. And I think about someone I know named Carl Tepper. Is there anything, if you could talk to him, that you would like to kind of approach him with or ask him?
Well, first off, if I were to talk to him, hi, nice to meet you. I would like to bring something up to Governor Abbott with the help of State Rep Carl Tepper, and that is for a statewide scholarship program that will match room and board for all and future cadets. And that's just across the state. It's not just Texas Tech, but just across all of them, so that it's not such a big competition of where to go in Texas for an ROTC program. And if we do it statewide, all of the colleges will benefit. It's not just one or another.
And can you kind of break down what you mean by matching room and board, just for our listeners that aren't familiar with ROTC program?
Yeah, so some colleges will offer the room and board. Some of them will offer the tuition and some of room and board. Some of them will give a stipend. It really kind of depends on where you go and which one offers. At Texas Tech, they do not offer the room and board coverage. They will offer some of the tuition with the scholarships, but not the room and board. And that's kind of a turn away for some cadets. And I can see why, you know, room and board on top of whatever tuition's left over. It's not cheap. Let's be real. It's very much not cheap. So getting a statewide matching of room and board scholarship would eliminate that problem altogether. And honestly, I do think colleges would make more money. Even if they're nonprofits, they would make more money that they could put towards else.
My brother's military, so I'm really vested in the veteran community here in Lubbock. And I've been working on some projects that I can't disclose at this time. But how many veterans do you think do we have as students at Tech?
As students, that's a very good question. I'm not familiar with how many we have at Texas Tech. I know we have a smaller veteran community here in Lubbock as compared to New Mexico and San Diego, especially San Diego, where I'm from. Definitely a smaller community, but we are still a mighty community. We might be tiny, but we're very mighty.
I know, and this is just because of my involvement with medical and healthcare. We get a lot of veterans out of Florida, New Mexico, Idaho, and they come straight to Lubbock, and a lot of them end up moving here because of that. I don't know what's causing that situation, because usually that's restricted to your state, but there's something there. Have you got to interact with the veterans in Lubbock that much?
I have done a lot of interacting with veterans. I work with the VA sometimes. We'd put on a bunch of events. Like, they had their welcome home event. They had their walk and roll event back in May, and that was a lot of fun. We get to interact with veterans as they're getting the resources they need, which is fantastic. You know, we have a lot of fun putting on events for their kids, for their families, And that's really great. And you get to hear their stories and where they're from, which is even cooler.
Now, you're Miss Military Star, and you all are Miss Military Star Texas, and you're a student at Texas Tech. You're a part of SGA, so technically you're a senator. Is there anything that you think in your capacity with your title and position that you would like to see brought to Texas Tech involving veteran support?
Involving veteran support, I do want to see more animal therapy. And this is part of my Vets, Pets, and Homes platform, is bringing veterans mental health support as they transition into a civilian life with animals. We have an amazing equine therapy team out here in Lubbock called Refuge Services. Not many people know about them. Not many people get to see them. They're a nonprofit. They're really great people. I love spending time with them and working with them over at their facilities. They provide equine-assisted therapy for veterans, and I think that's great. I think we should bring that to Texas Tech. We have such an amazing rodeo team. We have the polo club. We can bring that to Texas Tech, equine therapy for those veterans, and even for anybody in general who wants equine therapy, because it really is beneficial in a lot of ways. And I do think that should be brought to Texas Tech.
Two questions here. The first one, you talk about the rodeo. I know they took a hit last year when they lost the guy that was the head of that. How is the rodeo doing at Texas Tech?
I'm not actually too familiar with the rodeo. I didn't get to go last year. I was kind of busy with other stuff. I would like to go this year, though. So we'll see how it kind of goes. But I'm not very familiar with the rodeo.
All right. Now, the other question is in regards to your platform. And I wanted to ask this earlier. Talking about your platform, but also the equine therapy, can you kind of explain what that looks like? You know, are they riding horses? Are they feeding them? What it is? And what exactly does your platform go in and do?
So I'm going to describe my platform really quick. Vets, Pets, and Homes is all about working with other military-affiliated organizations to support the military community, whether that's veterans, active, retired reserves, etc. It really is all about working together. And that might be with the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which I love working with them as they provide the mortgage-free homes and the smart homes for the fallen or seriously injured veterans and first responders and their families, especially the ones with young kids and the Gold Star families. I also work with the Refuge Services. I work with the student government. I work with the Military Veterans Program and the ROTC, working with all of them to provide that support, whether that be the homes, the jobs, the resources that they need, like mental health. And when I say mental health, animal therapy, you know, do you guys have animals?
Yes.
I used to.
How do you feel when you're with your animal?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
I was a lot calmer.
A lot calmer. Okay, that's the thing. Have you ever seen a veteran with a rescue animal?
Yes, absolutely.
So you've seen just how important an animal can be to a veteran, especially from a rescue shelter. Now imagine veterans are paired with rescue animals. Those animals, you've seen a rescue animal, right? You know how amazing they can be when they're rescued. They are the sweetest animals in the world. Imagine pairing that with someone who needs the help like a veteran, and suddenly you have amazing families adopting amazing animals, and then the animal shelters can be emptied out. And then on top of that, the equine therapy, what that really looks like is not so much just riding or just taking care of a horse, it's both. When you learn to ride a horse, you learn to communicate with an animal. So that really helps de-stress. And when you are anxious on a horse, and yeah, it can be scary quite a bit. You know, I've been there, done that with my fair share of horseback riding. But when you're on there and you have someone telling you, you can trust this animal, take a deep breath, let yourself relax, because when you're on a horse, they can sense your fear just as much as you can sense their fear. When you relax and the animal relaxes, suddenly you're enjoying it. You know, it's not just about doing something. It's about enjoying it. And that's what really helps a lot of people with equine therapy. When I was a kid, my mom, who is a semi-retired horseback riding instructor, she used to work with one of our other friends who was an equine therapy team lead. She would bring these kids who had, they were on the spectrum, they were mentally disabled, they had a lot of their own private family issues, and they would use the equine therapy to help these children. And I watched not only my mom transform, but these kids transform. And that's the biggest thing that really caught my eye with equine therapy and with animals in general, pairing them with the veterans can bring about a huge mental health support that we have not tapped into.
Yeah, I think I definitely need to put you in touch with Carl Tepper. I don't know if you know this, but he's a horseman. And when he's not...
Bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. When he's not working on legislation and fighting for us at the Capitol, he's with his horses.
And I think that's great, too. I have a horse. I don't ride him very well or very often. That's more of my mom, who is the semi-retired instructor. But I will go out there and I'll spend time with her and the animals on the horse ranch, whether that's feeding, cleaning, whatever the case might be with the horses. You know, we do all kinds of stuff and we hang out with all the other people at the horse ranch. And it's a good time. You know, we feel a lot better. It's a lot more stress-free. We're not thinking about every other stress in the world. And suddenly we find that little bit of peace. And that just makes everything else a lot easier.
You know, fall is coming up, and I just kind of want to put this out there. Lubbock used to have a thing where they did like a carriage ride with horses and stuff. And it might be really cool if y'all could bring kids or veterans something, you know, on the carriage. That's always something I've kind of thought about needed to happen in Lubbock to just kind of make the holiday season feel a little bit more magical.
I would like to spice up the Christmas celebration that we have here at Texas Tech, the Carol of Lights. I'd like to add a little bit more to that to make it a little bit more festive and to really bring in that Christmas cheer. Now, granted, don't get me wrong. I love Carol of Lights, the lights show, the fireworks, the concert. It's all great. But let's add a little bit of Christmas to it. Like, the carriage rides would be a really great idea. Santa Claus photos, hot chocolate, vendors, crafts, things for the families, for the community to be involved. That would be a truly amazing feat here at Texas Tech.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to get the magic back, because even I realize, and maybe Phil can relate, it just kind of seems like the holidays tend to come and go when you live in Lubbock.
Well, yeah, that seems to be all right.
And, you know, I understand it. A lot of us are students. We might go home for the holidays, and that's beginning of December to middle of January. You know, I understand. But while we're here, let's celebrate. Back in Lakeside, we had a very similar celebration, not quite as filled with fireworks, but we call it the Spirit of Christmas. While I was in Lakeside, you know, you'd have Santa coming in on an antique truck. You had the marching band from the local high school. You had the Miss Lakeside Queens. You would have all of the vendors lining the streets. I mean, that was a big community thing, and it felt like Christmas. Now, granted, it wasn't nearly as cold as it gets here in Lubbock. It was maybe 50 degrees out there, and it was great, but you had Christmas, not just Texas Tech, not just the community. You had both. And I really want to bring that to Texas Tech.
I think that would be absolutely amazing. And I think that would really benefit Lubbock as a whole. Normally, we close this out with asking, you know, our guest what would benefit or what advice they would like to give young conservatives and Republicans. I'm going to kind of change that. What advice would you like to give younger women, younger students, people in general that want to get involved in pageants, or even adults that they want to get their kids involved, they don't really know how? And also, what advice would you give them and those that maybe they're trying to find out how they can kind of give back to their communities?
I think that's a great way to end this out. And what I will say is, do your own research. Don't just take somebody's word for, oh, do this, oh, do that. Go do your own research. Find something that you might want to try. Do the Google searches. That's how I ended up finding the Lubbock pageant. And that's how I ended up getting a little bit more involved with Miss Lakeside and Miss Military Star. Really, it is about what you are comfortable doing and maybe pushing that just a little bit, but not overdoing it. So when I say do your research, look up pageants that might fit what you want to do, whether that's not a bikini wear contest or focusing on one specific community or another, very much like Miss Military Star. Don't just take my word for it. Go out and look for it and see what you would want to do. And then reach out to them. Say, hey, I'm interested. Give me a little bit more info. And then from there, you pick which one you want to go with and just go with it.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to us and riding right with the Raiders once again. Phil, would you like to add anything?
No. But thank you, Miss Military Star Texas. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.